It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, continuing our talk on spring football. We bring in the expert, Lansing State Journal's Joe Rexrow. Joe, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Dave and Scott. It should be a pretty good day for football around here.
I was about to say, the weather looks like it's going to hold off a little bit. What are they expecting today? I didn't even look at a weather report.
Well, that's the thing. Actually, you know, yesterday when I wrote for today's paper, it was supposed to be like, you know, around low to mid-60s. But now I just looked at the hour-by-hour, and it's more like 58. But the rain should hold off, and I guess the high is still going to be like 63, but a little bit maybe later today.
Joe, let's start with this. We were talking about this at the end of last segment. As Michigan State fans look at Williams-Golston, is it fairer to expect him to take it to that next level this year?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, like on my blog, people make comments, and someone the other day, you know, said, clearly overrated Will Golston, and that just blew me away. It's like, the kid, most kids don't play as true freshmen at that position.
Especially on the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, in the trenches, I mean, I was extremely impressed for a true freshman with what he did last year. Times when he was, you know, bull rushing Big Ten linemen, you know, and was still a lot of strength and weight to pack on. But, I mean, I think it's fair. The whole key, I think, will be health. I mean, when he first came out for the first practice, I saw him in pads. I mean, I was like, wow, that's a different guy. I mean, he has clearly added, you know, he's added definitely a lot of weight to, like, his legs. He's just thicker. And, look, he's got tons of physical ability. The shoulder has to stay healthy, and that's always a key. But I think it's fair to expect him to be a guy who is an effective player and maybe a guy who can get you, you know, 8-10 sacks. I think that's reasonable.
Hey, Joe, it's Scott. Now, what is one thing that we might actually be able to take away from this spring game?
Yeah, it's tough because and I know some people just think there's absolutely nothing to take from these. I don't agree with that. I think that certain matchups can be interesting. Like today, I'm really excited to watch Johnny Adams against, you know, a B.J. Cunningham. I mean, you're going to have some individual matchups. And watching both of the centers play on either side of the ball, you know, I think now who are they blocking? Well, they each have a good defensive tackle, lining up on the other team. And then another reserve next to them. But you have Worthy on the white team, and then you have Rashad White, who's one of the guys who's created a lot of buzz on the green team. So I think the centers are interesting. I don't know if there's one. I mean, I don't think you can draw any, you know, broad brush conclusions about Michigan State football from a game like this, but there are individual players to watch.
Joe Rexrow, Lansing State Journal, with us talking about the spring football game today at Spartan Stadium. Joe, all right, so let's talk about spring practices in general. Who of the coaches have told you have had the best spring practices?
Well, like last week, Pat Narduzzi, as I mentioned, Johnny Adams, I mean, he said, you know, he's playing like a defensive player. Pretty strong quote. I mean, Pat Narduzzi is a guy who gives strong quotes, but he's also a guy who, you know, is critical of players. He's not afraid to do that, and he's not a guy who's always overly positive. I mean, some coaches are always going to be positive no matter what. But when Narduzzi said that, I definitely took notice. Like I said, Rashad White is a guy. You know, the two young offensive linemen, I mentioned Travis Jackson, he's number one. And going into the spring, he was part of the, you know, four-way battle at center. Nate Klatt, of course, broke his foot, so he's out of that. So it's three guys. But I consider Jackson clearly the number four guy. He's a freshman, and he came in weighing about 260. I mean, he's up in the 270s now. But the fact that he's number one, I think, is telling. And certainly Blake Treadwell's right there behind him. But then Dan France, number one at left tackle. Again, a guy who played last year, you know, played his first 2 years. He was a redshirt freshman last year playing the defensive line. They move him to bowl practice. All of a sudden, like, wow, this guy could be, you know, the left tackle. So those guys have been big surprises. Obviously, Tony Lippitt's a big story. He has been all spring going in. Mark D'Antonio said this guy's going to play two ways for us. You know, you think of Chris Gamble at Ohio State when D'Antonio was there. And so he started at receiver. He's now working at cornerback. And, you know, there's actually a recent development that makes today interesting, too, is that, Jarius Jones, who was kind of losing out to Isaiah Lewis at safety, he hurt his Achilles. You know, we're going to get an update from Mark D'Antonio later, but I think there's clearly a possibility he could be done for next season with that. Oof. And that means Mylon Hicks today is going to play all day at safety, and Mylon Hicks is probably going to have a significant role as a redshirt freshman and a guy who moved from corner to safety.
Well, sticking with the defensive secondary, we're talking about, obviously, Johnny Adams. Who's going to be the other corner to step up and take that other spot?
Well, Darquez Denard is definitely the guy, and in fact, Harlan Barnett just said a few days ago he's well ahead of Lippitt. But again, he's playing both ways, but there's really no challenger right now to Darquez Denard. I mean, if there's an area on this team that really lacks depth right now, it is that defensive backfield, which wasn't the case a couple years ago. But guys moved on. There's only one senior in this group, Trent Robinson, so it's young and they've got guys to develop, but they don't have a lot of experience there returning. So right now it's Adams and Denard, the clear top two cornerbacks.
Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal with us. Joe, you mentioned lack of depth. One position they don't have lack of depth in is running back. I'm going to make this statement, and I want you to elaborate on this and tell me if I'm wrong or not. I look at their three running backs, and I think they may have the best running back trio in the country. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't sit here and argue with you right now. I mean, I'd have to go through. I mean, no one immediately comes to mind as obviously better. I mean, Wisconsin still has, of course, White and Ball losing Clay. That's still, and I'm sure they have like a couple other guys who are awesome, because it's Wisconsin, But hey, I don't think that's an outlandish statement, especially when you consider Larry Caper. Again, he was banged up, and he never really got a really strong role last year. But and then, of course, he had a little hamstring thing. I mean, he's a guy who's got to stay healthy. But then you look at those three, and then Nick Hill has been opening eyes this spring. And that's another guy today I'm interested in watching, Nick Hill. I think, I think with Caper, with a little hamstring, and then Baker's got a little shoulder, I think they're probably going to maybe take it easy on those guys. And I think you maybe see Le'Veon Bell and Nick Hill get a lot of carries today. And, of course, they're on the same team. But and Jeremy Langford had a big scrimmage last week, had like 47 yards rushing. So, no question, that is a major position of strength, as is receiver for Michigan State.
Joe, are we going to see the next Eric Gordon and Greg Jones out there today?
Well, I think Max Bulla on course to replace Greg Jones, and I don't know if he's going to make people forget about Greg Jones, but I don't think next year people are going to be lamenting Greg Jones. I don't think people are going to be looking at Max Bull and saying, wow, this team, this is the problem. I think he's going to be at least solid and then potentially very, very good before he's done. So that's very interesting to watch him today. Eric Gordon, Denikos Allen is a guy, if you remember a year ago, he was one of the stories of the spring game. He was all over the place, and people at the time said, oh, watch out, this kid might overtake Chris Norman. He didn't. But he did play on special teams. He made some plays. Of course, he had that huge block punt really to turn that Purdue game late in the season. He's another guy who Pat Narduzzi said the other day is playing very well, and he's playing at that star position, which will probably allow Chris Norman to move to the Sam. So, of course, Chris Norman won't play today. He's got the elbow thing. But Denikos Allen and Max Bulla, two guys I think you're going to see starting, and I think Michigan State has high hopes for both of them right away.
Joe Rexroad from the Lansing State Journal here with us on the weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS. Joe, have you talked to Greg Jones throughout this draft process?
Well, just the other day, talked to him, caught up with him, and he said he's talked to all the teams. I imagine he'll be going. I would think he'd be going here. The round four starts at noon. I would imagine he'd be going in that first hour, I would think. I mean, maybe he'll drop to the fifth, but there was a little bit of a run on inside guys in the third round. So next team that needs one, I would think that he'd be the guy. He's taking it all in stride. A year ago, of course he came back early and much was made of that. And certainly that was a big part of Michigan State winning a championship. But he got a third round grade a year ago. I do think gaining the weight maybe ended up hurting him. I understand why you do it, because people are looking at you and saying, "Well, you've got to play inside in the NFL. You've got to add bulk, and you've got to be a little bit bigger." But I don't know that he played quite as fast last season with that weight. And, you know, maybe it cost him a little bit, but he's taking his stride. And I tell you what, he, you know, he's got a good attitude. And whoever gets him, I do think he's going to get a guy who is going to contribute. And I think he has a good chance to be a starter someday in the NFL.
Well, we were talking, a great fit we think for him would be the Philadelphia Eagles, because they don't really count on their linebackers to do a lot of pass coverage. Is there any team in particular that you've looked at and said, wow, I think Greg Jones would be a great fit there?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, you know, I mean, I do think that he's, I think he is better in a 4-3. I think a 4-3 inside guy would suit him better. Speaking of which, you know, the shocker of yesterday for me was Jonas Mouton.
I think that was a shocker of anybody, yeah.
I mean, good for him, you know, but the fact that they got him as a 3-4 inside guy, I mean, I was never terribly impressed with a guy at all. I know he can move around a little bit and things like that, but, I mean, that's the thing, you just never know. You know, you get one team who loves a guy, and all of a sudden he's way higher than you would have expected, and I thought maybe Greg Jones would have had a chance maybe to go in the third round in that kind of scenario yesterday, but you know, I think he's going to be off the board pretty quickly here.
Joe, last thing for you. What's the biggest storyline heading into the green and white game this afternoon?
Biggest storyline. It's hard for me to pick one. I'll go ahead and I'll go that with the center thing, because I just think that's such an intriguing battle. I think it's going to be really close. I mean, if I had to pick right now, I still will go with Blake Treadwell. They moved him for a reason. He's very athletic, and I think he's going to end up emerging there, but boy, Travis Jackson is intriguing, and they love him, and you know, he's quick, and that's one thing they talk about a lot is his quickness, which is important. And obviously, the mental side of the position is extremely important too. But I am going to sit there and watch those two centers today and see how they perform. And I know that's not maybe the most exciting thing to watch, but I think it will be interesting.
I said one last thing, but with that, why didn't Blake's dad ever move him over to center on his own offense?
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think they needed him. I mean, if you remember, they had to activate him as a true freshman because
they
were so thin at tackle, you know? And but, yeah, I mean, that is a fair question. And he was a very highly rated center coming out of East Lansing High, so I think they always knew he could have done either one, but now that they've got a little more depth at the tackle spot, especially with a guy like Rashad White emerging, you know, this move kind of makes sense. What my next question is, if he doesn't win the job, you know, of course, he can play guard too, and they have been playing the guard, but they've got two very good guards. If he doesn't win the job, do they keep him there as like the sixth guy, seventh guy on the offensive line, or do they move him back to D tackle? That'll be interesting if that's what happens.
There it is. Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal. Joe, we appreciate it, man. Always great stuff. Enjoy the game today.
Okay, guys, good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
All right, Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal. When we come back, final segment, a little fantasy baseball. Scott got one back on me this week. That's stupid David Price. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.